What's going on? It is Jamil Jude, your artistic director here at Kenny Leon's True Colors Theater Company, and welcome to episode number eight of the True Colors podcast. It is always a pleasure to be here with you every Thursday, and this is unlike any other Thursday conversation that we have because we are prepping for our first community conversation that we'll host digitally. So today is a little precursor. I have an opportunity to talk to our associate producer, Miss Clarissa Crawford. Today, we'll talk a little bit about the Unsung Sheroes community conversation that we will host this weekend. Talk about her work that lies at the intersection of community and arts and activism, and get to know a little bit more about her as we gear up and get excited for the amazing panel conversation that we will have this Saturday. So without further ado, let me go ahead and introduce
to the True Colors podcast, episode number eight. Hey, Clarissa, how you doing?
Hey, how are you, Jamil?
See, I'm doing
well. I had my angle all set.
Yeah, I know. And then the split screen messed us up this time.
Yeah.
But we're going to get it right.
We're going to get it right. But I'm excited to be here nonetheless.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it, man. I've been having a blast. You know, anytime that I get an opportunity to talk to some fun people who are doing really great work, it's a real joy. And it's always a highlight of my week. I know that Thursday is coming up because my bald head starts to grow some hair on it. So let me know that it's time to shave and get ready to go. So Clarissa, man, for people who don't know you, don't have an opportunity to be familiar with your work, I would love to introduce you and talk a little bit about, like, how'd you get to Atlanta? How'd you get to be doing the work that you do?
Yeah, well, first, thank you again for having me. I'm super excited to be here and just to share this space and this platform with you. So for those who don't know, my name is Clarissa Crawford. I do serve as the associate producer at True Colors Theater, among many other many other jobs that I hold. But I have been producing for well over 10 years now. And so I'm originally from Columbus, Georgia, military brat, but my dad ended up being stationed at Fort Benning, and I stayed in that area for quite some time before heading out to Statesboro, Georgia, to go to Georgia Southern University to receive a degree, in marketing, and then just figuring out what it was that I wanted to do with my life. And so for as long as I can remember, I've been playing around and coordinating events, all types of just small events, birthday parties, little gatherings, whatever I could get my hands on. And so I began to kind of notice a pattern that I had for just being able to organize details and people in a way to create these experiences. So when I was on campus at Georgia Southern, I started to really get involved in a lot of extracurricular activities that later I would learn were producing activities. They weren't called such at that time. It was more coordinator. I remember I was responsible for coordinating homecoming week. Then started just doing scholarship pageants. You'll be happy to know, I actually was part of a collaboration that started Miss Kappa Alpha Psi down at Georgia Southern University. And so I really, just got into creating these experiences and became obsessed with putting things on the stage that really resonated with audiences. And so, taking that along with what I was learning in marketing just led me to this path where once I graduated from Georgia Southern, I started just trying to find and secure every opportunity I could to produce, long story short. So eventually I got into catering. For a long time, I went into the government sector, actually working to produce large conferences for the CDC. And so from there, I was all right, this is fun working, very important work that was being done, but I wanted to like be like more creative. So I thought I wanted to go into like film and TV. Theater wasn't on my mind just yet, but I ended up deciding I wanted to go out to LA to just like learn the lay of the land. So I went out and decided to enter into a program at the California Institute of the Arts, where I actually ended up enrolling into their producing program, which focused heavily on theater. And so it was just like I kind of stumbled into it. I thought I was following. There was a particular producer whose path I was trying to follow, and I thought that they were an instructor at CalArts, and they weren't. But I had like gone through like all this process and ended up like meeting some really dope people. And I knew I wanted to be out in LA, and so like a door opened. There was my mentor, a lady who ended up becoming my mentor later on, named Carol Bixler, who just like took me under her wing. And yeah, the journey just started from there. And that's like where I really learned what it meant to be a producer, right? And so I was doing a lot of that was my first real engagement with theater. In the process of like building what goes on the stage, like being in that deep work, and in that process and building a team to make that all happen. So I went through that program and learned so much, made a lot of beautiful connections at CalArts in LA, and ended up coming back here because I just love the South. And LA wasn't for me, and I was trying to figure out what it was I wanted to do. So I did a lot of like freelance work, and that afforded me opportunities to work with like BET. So I went on the road with BET, like working and doing digital components for all of their live experiences. So like the BET Awards, the Soul Train Awards. There were like different private events that they would host for just VIP stakeholders. So I learned a lot, made connections through there. But I was still looking for like some deep meaning. Like I wanted some substance to the work that I was producing. Not saying that like I wasn't getting anything out of what I was doing, but the people that I had met going through that process at CalArts had this really beautiful way of just like looking at the world and creating art and producing art, and I really wanted to embody that in my work. And so eventually I started working with community organizers, and the way that I entered into that work was just like taking what I knew about managing resources and processes, and I began to become like responsible for managing resources they were getting through grants, and larger funders and donors, and learning how to make those accessible for artists, specifically in the South. So that was a long-winded way for me to just talk about like where I am now, which is that's what I do a lot of too. So in addition to like helping to create experiences on the stage, I also do a lot of work in the community, stewarding resources and making them accessible for artists who are working in community, and specifically in the South. So.
Well, what I mean, like, what we are finding with this podcast is that our journeys, whenever I've been talking to people, are the things that people are tuning into, and what people are like, oh, hey, I didn't know that I could pair my interest and I can go and I can go get into a postgraduate program that I can learn producing, but then I can find a way because I want to be in community to connect people to resources. And also, there are individual artists who listen to this all the time, and like, oh, well, I'm a Southern artist. I didn't know that there is someone who could facilitate me getting access to funds. So, this is why we have you here, so that people know that not just your pathway is viable and you can get to where you are through it, but that you, the person who you are, can help connect people to the things. And your connections are really one of the things that I love about just the work that you do and your connection to community and wanting to find a way to ensure that you are getting money and resources and to the people who are going to make the work, right? And that's
Yeah.
what producing is, right? That is what producing is. I tell people all the time that
Exactly what it is.
as a producer, I am just trying to make sure that the people who have the ideas are getting connected to the people who want to hear those ideas.
Yeah, and I feel like really, really blessed to be able to like be doing the work that I do, because often like I just, you know, I am like I have an eye for like spotting talent, or I can spot a good story, but like I'm not the person you want writing that story or telling that story necessarily. And so like I admire artists so much. And often like what I love about theater, what I love about the process of making and like presenting art, is just like the talent behind it that's doing it, because I'm like, you're saying what I want to say. Like you're helping me to feel the things I want to feel. Like I can't articulate it in that way, but like these are the people that are just like really helping to like amplify our voices in a way that we might not be able to. And so, since I can't do that, what I can do is help you to better be able to present that with, you know, resources or whatever time, however I can do that. And so it makes me feel like, in a way, I'm part of that. In a
Well,
way,
you are.
in a way, I am, right? Like I'm a part of that process. So it's
Well,
super dope.
what you said reminded me of that moment where I said, "Oh, I'm not a playwright, right? Like
Yeah.
I can see the story and I can hear it in my head, but getting it down on the blank page is not my thing." But the thing that I love about producing is what I heard you just reflect back is that as producers, we are able to uplift those artists that are speaking to the moment, speaking to something that is universal, something that is essential, something that when we hear it, when we feel it, impacts our lives in such a way. And I think producers are artists, right? Like maybe this is just
Yeah.
my producer
No,
prerogative
you're
showing.
right.
I think
It's
we're
an
artists
art.
too, but it's definitely art form.
Yeah.
But it is when people ask me, well, do you like directing more? Or do you like producing more? I said, well, they're so different, but
Yeah.
I love that moment where the audience hits, the play hits, the actors are doing their thing, the directors are doing their thing, and that confluence, man, when that thing hits, that
Yes.
shit is just like, it's gold to me.
It's like, and it's such a high, and like I feel like I there's they're like because that moment, they're like I have a collection of like that moment. It's like the moment, and then you look out, you look around, and you're like, it hit, and it's just like it's the best feeling in the world. And I feel like I'm always trying to be engaged in processes to recreate that feeling, because like
Chase
that's Yeah, that's the
that
why, right?
high.
Like that is the
That's the
why.
why.
So it's yeah. I love it. I love
Yeah,
it.
when I know one of those moments, always for me, are the community conversations that we've been rolling out at True Colors over the last several years. And we're really excited to have you host this panel, where we'll be talking about unsung sheroes here in this season of the She Griot. We wanted to
Yeah.
make sure that we highlight women in our community who may not get as much accolades and the flowers. We've been talking over the last several weeks about getting people their flowers while they're still around to receive them. Clarissa, man, give us the tease. Tell us about this unsung Shiro community conversation and what should we be looking forward to?
Yes, so I'm so excited about this panel, and first of all, I just wanna we had talked about like we were planning for this like a while ago, right? And so and a lot has happened since we initiated those plans, and so I've just been reflecting. Like this is the space, this is the time where we're thinking about everything, right? Because we have the time to do that. And so I've just been thinking about like how our panel has lined up and the amazing women that we're going to have an opportunity to speak to over the weekend. And I think it's so beautiful. So we have Dr. Catherine Foster Rowell, who is a councilwoman for the city of South Fulton. We're going to also have Bishop Carolyn Tyler Guidry, who is the 102nd elected and consecrated bishop of the AME Church, but retired. We're going to have Gaucher Hawkins, who is a well-known business owner and celebrity hairstylist here in the community. And then also Dr. Kalinda Lee, who serves as the Vice President of Historical Interpretation and Community Partnerships, long title, at the Atlanta History Center. And so like as I've been just like thinking about like this conversation that we're going to have, where we are going to be able to sit down and honor like our local sheroes who might not always be able to like get the recognition that they deserve, but are within our community doing very important work. I started realizing just like each of them represent like, and this is a bit selfish because each of them like speak to like a part of me. And like as I started digging in and just learning more about their work, like Dr. Kalinda Lee is a historian, a scholar and historian, and a lot of what she does is like interpret history to like decide like what collections and are going to be like highlighted at the Atlanta History Center. But just like thinking about the importance of being a woman who like holds history. So what that means like now as we're going through this global challenge. But even for me, like I think about like the importance of understanding history for just like moments like now, but then also just like all the moments that are happening like in between. It's so important and it informs like the work that I do, especially being engaged in community, especially at True Colors, right? Like us being able to understand what's happening in our community, the history of this community, so that we can make sure what we're putting on the stage is representative and speaks to our people. So like history is so important. Bishop Guidry is I happened to like in looking her up saw that she had like done like a Facebook Live not too long ago and she was just praying, right? And I was like, that's my grandmama, right? Like that, like my grandmother is a minister. And I was just like, okay, so like that's a woman that speaks to my spirit. But not only that, like if anyone is welcome to go and check out their bios, which are available on our website, but like Bishop Guidry has lived through so many important movements in our history as Black people. She came up during the Civil Rights era, and so she worked up under Medgar Evers. She was part of coordinating Freedom Rise. Like, there's just like so. She's from Jackson, Mississippi, so just like the history there, right? Like, so much knowledge, so much wisdom. She can talk about like fear. She can speak to like what it is to like overcome in the face of fear. Like, so I think about just like with so much uncertainty that's happening right now, like that's a woman I want to speak to. That's a woman I want to hear from. I want to know what you got to say. Thinking about Councilwoman Rowell, who is in community and shaping policy, and she has a long history of working in community. For families, for children, all of these women do. But you know, thinking about because I work in nonprofit, I understand what that means, right? To be a Black woman at the front line, trying to shape policy, trying to fight for and do right by a community that's not always aware of what it is that you do, and that's that not always able to appreciate it. So. And then Gaucher, like I like hustler, like just
Hustler,
gets it
hustler.
done, right? Like she has had so many pivots in her journey that are just like super inspirational. But on top of that, like as I was just like digging to find out more about her, I was just like there was a pace. I was like, she's quick. Like she just moves really quickly. And so there's something about like the pace at which she just makes stuff happen that's like very inspiring to me as well. So it's like I'm super excited to just like I feel like we could have individual conversations with all of them, right? But like I think it's gonna be to me, I'm excited about just being able to sit in front of all of them at one time and just like hear. because they've been doing what they do for well over like 20 years or so. Like they're all seasoned, and so I think that there's just going to be a lot of gems dropped. I feel like it's gonna be, you know, we might get a prayer. We gonna get some, you know, spiritual food. But then, you know, Gauche also has her breakfast bar, so
And
and then the pork business,
if
right?
you haven't been to Gauche's Breakfast Bar out in Cascade, once we
Yes.
get over this, once we get over this, man, go. When you talk about when you see all the things come together,
Yeah.
Gauche's Breakfast Bar makes me is that spot for me. Like they
Yeah.
have the music playing, especially if you go on brunch on the weekends. It's always a lituation. I know we're not saying that no more, but I'm old, so I still say lit. And they got the artwork, and it's beautiful. But but in this moment, I think it's a good thing too. When you talk about Gauche and just how much she pivots, she's a hair salon owner and
Yeah.
a restaurant owner. When we talk
Yeah.
about businesses that have been impacted, greatly by this COVID moment, Gauche is in that. But she's still finding ways. I mean, she still has a smile on her
Still.
face. She's still trying to find ways to get it done. So I'm really, really I'm excited for that conversation. Oftentimes
Yeah.
when I'm in those spaces and I can see it in your smile too,
I'm so excited.
we get there and it's like I feel selfish, and I always admit to the audience, like, y'all, listen, I feel like this is my living room. I'm just chatting with some people who I really admire, and it's always a fun thing. I did want to just shout out that this is the first time that we are choosing to do the podcast also as a fundraiser. So shout out to the people who are donating as well in this moment for COVID-19 to organizations like
Yeah.
ours. So thank you guys for taking advantage and using the donate button here on the IG Live. We're playing it out again. We're testing new technology, but it means a lot that you think enough about True Colors to donate
Yeah.
and support the work.
That's super dope.
So Clarissa, we have been celebrating She Griots all season long, and these women are definitely She Griots that we are really excited to highlight and shout out. And I think you also mentioned maybe a Dr. Bixler, I think, as somebody that you said. But please tell us a little bit more about some She Griots in your life that have impacted you, that hold the history, that tell the story, that when you look to them, you see yourself reflected back.
Yeah, man. I was thinking about this because it's gonna be one of the questions that I do ask, but I feel really, really blessed because a lot of my she griots, the women that I look to are within reach. And so there are peers that I work that are like working across with me. There are women who've like gone above and before me. So I'm thinking about like, you know, in my work right now, there's a young lady I work with named Ashley Walden Davis. Who's amazing. She, you know, is a peer, but I also consider her a mentor just because of the excellence that she moves with. As I think about, you know, when I was reading through Bishop Guidry's just all of the movement that she'd done, and Medgar Evers came up, and I thought about Emmett Till, and Taki Garrett was who's an amazing director, was
Artistic
part
director of
of.
OS. She's the artistic director of Oregon Shakespeare Festival now, too.
Yes, she was really instrumental in my journey at CalArts because I was, during my time there, she was the associate dean. And so when I was coming into that world, didn't know what theater or didn't know anything, she was so instrumental in just like helping me navigate the process. I had an opportunity. I've been in a couple of processes with her, but you know, she had a piece that she had co-created around Carolyn Bryant that, you know, really was such an instrumental piece in my life as well. So that's someone I think about. I have a local mentor here, Keitha Blackburn. I have my friends, Brandy Stone, Dominique. Like, there's just like so many women that I feel blessed to be embraced and surrounded by and supported by that I can like reach out to anytime. And then, of course, you know, the Michelle Obamas of this world,
Word, word, word.
Oprah, you know, like I feel. like I have so many great, women within reach that I can just like tap into when I need inspiration, when I feel like I need guidance, when I need some words. So yeah, I'm surrounded.
Yeah, man, list them up, man. List them up. Like, I think what's been really cool. So one of the opportunities that you all as a team, I always say that I have one of the best jobs in the world, not just because I get to lead True Colors, but like the people I get to work with. Like, I got a whole bunch of Chic Rios that I work with every day. It is a good thing to be outnumbered, to have that many strong, amazing, talented, smart Black women that we work with every day. But a thing that that came from the staff was like, hey, let's celebrate. If we are celebrating a season of Chic Rios, well, then every week, let's highlight another one. So we've put together a 52 weeks of women. So on our website, truecolorstheater.org, you can see every week we've been highlighting another woman. And what's been really fun, and why I'm really excited again about this community conversation on Saturday, just really elevating these stories. And yes, the Michelle Obamas, yes, the Oprahs, rather, there are inspiring. I just finished watching Michelle's documentary last weekend. But it is in the Dr. Kalinda Lee's and the Ms. Rowell, Councilwoman Rowell's stories that you know, they feel they are accessible to us in a way that makes anyone feel like the things are attainable. I'm wondering, can I be heard? Can I be heard?
I can hear you. It might
you
be
can
on
hear
my
me?
End. I can hear you.
Okay. No, yeah. I think we're all right. Listen, this is technology.
I was about to say, I'm learning that we just have to pause and like take a breath for technology during these days, because like it's going to do what it's going to do.
Yeah, man. So shout out to Sherry Man Stewart. I appreciate the filmmaker saying that, like, yeah, we had some type of disruption. We'll get on Instagram about that. For messing up the podcast. But I just, the question I asked was that, what do you think may surprise people about how amazing, or the spirit of tenacity that you have in the panelists coming up on Saturday, that people should look forward to?
I think that I feel like a lot of the gems that I'm pretty sure are going to be dropped are going to be things that just like remind us that like what they're doing, anybody could do, right?
Yeah,
like,
work.
Everybody has an opportunity to be great. Everybody can be, anyone can be a Shiro. Anyone can be a hero. And so I feel like I think that a lot of what we're gonna find and hear throughout their stories is, while they're amazing, like, they're very relatable, they're very human, they're very accessible. And I think that like, we're going to just like see ourselves so much in them that we're gonna be like affirmed and like, yeah, actually I can do that. I do that. Oh, that's how I think about that. That's how I approach that. And it's just like, that's all you have to do. It's just like, be you, be consistently being you, you know, and just keep aiming for the goal and you'll get it. And so like that's what excites me, because again, like I'm taking it, I'm being really selfish, and I'm just going to take that point of privilege.
Do it. Do
like,
it.
As a young Black woman, like, I just need to be reminded. I need to see those examples. I need to see it several times. This is why representation is so important. And I think that like, just any opportunity that we have to be able to hear how our Shiros, our heroes are doing what it is that they do, like, we need to just like, yeah, take a seat and listen, because like, it's just what we're able to see is just a reflection of like what we are already. And so I think that like, our audience is just gonna walk away like, yeah, feeling affirmed, especially right now when things are so uncertain, that like, we're people who overcome. Like, we are a people who figure out, we're creative, we set the trend, we break the mold. Like, What obstacle? We don't take L's. Everything is a win. Like, that's what we do, and we figure it out. We're magic.
There it
That's what
is.
they're gonna see. We're
Yeah.
magic.
There it is.
Yeah.
Listen, tell people you ain't got to wait till Saturday to get
You
some
ain't
gems,
gotta
man.
wait.
Clarissa Crawford
Just
gonna drop the gems to you right here. Let them rain.
magic.
Let them rain, man. We
Magic.
are the magic. Yeah, shout out again to the people who are taking the opportunity. I see you, Miss Tony. I see you. Looks like Faith Antoinette. Thank you guys for the support of True Colors, and it all means so much. Like Clarissa mentioned, this magic that we are able to just to be a part of, in the world in which we live in, we only are able to do it because we are in community. We are working with each other. We are finding the things that each one of us do well, and we're supporting and lifting up each other. So
Absolutely.
that's how we achieve that magic that Miss Crawford is dropping to us right now. Clarissa, one of the things that we are going to give and to highlight for all the people who are joining us on Saturday, I'm going to preview our upcoming season. I have given a little bit. Okay, I've given a little bit on here on the past where I said that the season is going to be themed joy and pain. For me, when I think about those emotions, of course I think about that song, like a sunshine. I don't know if Instagram's gonna let us sing on here. That might be the interruption. If I start singing, I might have to interrupt it myself because y'all don't want to hear that. But for me, man, those ideas of joy and pain is what it means to be a Black person living in America, that we live with those things at the same time. You just mentioned it, that we are a people who overcome. We are a people who make the best out of bad situations. We are a people who, even in death, we have second line parades in like New Orleans culture. We figure out how to celebrate. We are also people who, as we have witnessed recently, that the things that should inspire joy, jogs, playing video games with family members, driving, being in the park, playing with the water gun like I used to when I was a kid, can immediately turn into something tragic, right? When you think of joy and pain and those dual emotions, and where some people want to see them as diametrically opposed, and but the intersection is where we live. What do you think about when you think about joy and pain?
Man, there, yeah. In this moment, just thinking about there's like who continue to have their lives taken from us. I think about my siblings, my brother specifically, right? And I have a younger brother who is like unapologetically himself, like. And is, rough around the edges. And I get so much joy of like seeing my brother move through the world like unapologetically. And so when I hear and I see and I witness and lives taken unjustly, like I like the pain of that like is I'm always reminded of I think about my brother. And so like the way that I resolve when I, as best as I can, is to think about like what it means to be, to live wholly as ourselves and unapologetically is like a statement. And so it's just like there's so much more power in focusing in on that for me. But I also can't ignore like what I also think about like any moment that could be me, any moment that could be my brother. And so when I think about like joy and pain, like I feel like it's a tension that I live with like daily. And I have to be intentional about like choosing my focus. And so yeah, I think that it's helpful, so helpful to be able to this is like that's why it's like important for me to be able to see stories and examples and hear from others about like who've gone before us and are still with us, like about how to move through these moments, right? We still trying to heal from so much already that's happened, and it's just like, I it's a privilege to be able to lean in and just like, you know, borrow a little strength from those who have seen this before, unfortunately. And yeah, that's what I think about. Like, it's attention that I just feel like daily.
Yeah, you know, and I think too, on top of that, right, like, you know, because they exist at the same time, is that when we think about the pains, which are always so present and always accessible, I think it's so important for us to think about joy. I've been asking artists in the lead up to this season announcement, just asking them like, hey, what sparks joy in you? Like, what are the things that as soon as you think about it, you start to smile, you start to relax, your shoulders lean back a little bit. And I've been thinking about just this moment, right? Like, there are so many things to be scared about and nervous about.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've talked on this podcast every week. I encourage people to stay indoors, stay safe. This is affecting us in ways that is not affecting other people. But I'm also seeing, you know, anytime I open up IG, like, we got a dance challenge or we got this type of challenge, and we're still finding ways to celebrate and to connect with one another. So in this time, Clarissa, what are the things that are bringing you joy? Question that I had for you was, in this time when there are so many things that we can fixate on, but what are the things that you that bring you joy, that you're finding joy in this time?
Yeah, so I find joy in being out in nature during this time, because Mother Nature is flourishing. We didn't left her alone for a bit, so she's flourishing. I find joy in music. I'm finding joy in silence. I find joy in just like sitting with a cup of coffee. I find joy in like being able to like check in online and then like check out. Because there's a lot happening online,
word.
I feel like I'm constantly engaged, but I do find joy in being able to like hold space in online as well. So I'm really intentional about seeking out and creating moments of joy for myself. So yeah, and I think that's what it takes.
Yeah, you know, yeah. You made me think just now about getting outside. And one of the things that has really given me a lot of joy is like working in my backyard, and like pulling weeds and gardening. And I've been really finding that this return to nature, it has been bringing me a lot of joy too. And I've also been going on like daily walks. So we have a really hilly neighborhood. We've been pushing Journey in the stroller. And that's been a really solid way to bring about some joy in our daily lives, and letting Journey get outside and running and things like that. I promise, for those of you all who are joining us on Saturday, we're going to have all this worked out. And we'll be on the Zoom platform. I don't think that we have shared with people how they can participate in the community conversation. So of course you can go to truecolorstheater.org and go to the community conversations tab, or on the events page, and you'll see the Unsung Sheroes community conversation. Use the registration link, and then you'll be given the Zoom link to join us on Saturday. Saturday at 11 o'clock is when we'll have an Unsung Shero panel. I think we got Clarissa back here.
Yes, I'm here.
It is all good, man. Listen, like, I have had my battles with Instagram Live. For those of you all who have been with us on the podcast for the 8 weeks, they know that I've been struggling with this. So it is all good. Shout out, we just got a huge donation. So thank you very much for that. Appreciate it. Again, on this first time that we're doing it, even in the 40 something minutes that we've been on, people have been supporting the work for True Colors. So thank you very much, Shay Mac, for that that donation. Cece, let's leave people with the thing We talked a little bit about the joy, and we talked about that intersection a little bit. What's the thing that you can't wait to do once we get back to normal? Just leave people with the things that you can't wait to do once we all get back together.
I can't wait to go to brunch at
That
Gaucher's Breakfast
goes
Bar.
to breakfast bar. There you go, Jim. Boom, boom, boom. Good, 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 good.
Also know, even though like they're not fully open, you can do takeouts, and you should
Yep.
support because
Please.
our business is during this time. But yeah, I can't wait to like go get my hair done. I can't wait to like gather without deep concern. I don't know if that'll ever be
Yeah.
the same, but I can't wait to just
Yeah,
like
yeah.
actually like be in space with people. I can't wait to see in the True Colors show, production,
Word,
community
word.
conversation in person. Yeah, I just can't wait to just like be out and about and see lots and lots of people. Not too many people, maybe. I don't know. We'll
Sure.
see.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it's definitely gonna be I was gonna say touch and go, but maybe a little less touch
Right. No,
when we
right.
all get back together. But like you
What
talked
you looking
about,
forward to?
yeah, man. I was thinking the other day, I miss hugging friends. Like I miss like
Yeah.
just like seeing somebody that you care about and being able to let them know that you care about them.
Yeah.
I'm a former athlete and a sports junkie, so I can't wait to see sports again. This Jordan documentary has been tiding me over for a while. As shameless as it is, I can't wait to have people gather in the theater when we talked about
Yeah.
earlier what that moment when it hits as a producer, being out on stage and doing the curtain speech, seeing an audience there that is ready to see this play, talking to the actors backstage as they get ready. And just being in that gap, really, between the actors behind me and the audience in front of me, realizing that I'm right there in the middle of them, is one of the best feelings in the world. And I can't wait to give a curtain speech again when we're gathered in the theater. Yeah.
Nice.
Clarissa
Nice.
Crawford, man, thank you so very much for joining us, for battling with technology. You are a lot of fun. People are going to be excited to hear what you have to say, and they're really going to be excited and take away a lot of good stuff
Yeah,
from
excited too.
our panelists on the Unsung Sheroes community conversation that we're hosting this Saturday at 11. Thank you. Thank you. Go to
Thank you.
truecolorstheater.org, register. Find the Zoom link, as many people as want to. There is no cap. Go. And again, shout out to everybody who donated, especially in this crazy time, who are donating to the work of True Colors. It means so very much to all of us over at True Colors. So thank you all so much. We will see you all Saturday, and then we'll also see you all next week, Thursday, for episode number 9, where I'll be joined by Tinashe Kejese-Bolden, director of Schoolgirls, an African Mean Girls play. Yeah, man.
I want to
Yeah. Listen, y'all, we keeping it going, man. We are giving you guys the best that we got in consecutive weeks. So thank you all so very much for rocking with us. Enjoy the rest of
Yes,
your day,
thank you,
Clarissa.
Jamel. All
Yeah,
right,
thank
have
you,
a
thank
great
you, thank
one.
you. Bye, bye, y'all.